there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Welcome to the podcast of the Green River Pentecostal Church. Our prayer is that you will be blessed and encouraged as we step into the living streams of God's holy word. The Green River Pentecostal Church is located at 7337 Kentucky Highway 698, Houstonville, Kentucky. Now let us turn our attention to the message.
Amen. Can you give the Lord a good hand clap of praise in the house? This is the house of the Lord. This is the place where His name is glorified. But the reality of it is, we ought not just glorify Him when we're here. We ought to glorify Him wherever we are. If we're in our homes, we ought to glorify Him. If we're on our jobs, we ought to glorify Him. If we're at Kroger and we're looking at all those high prices, we ought to glorify Him. If we're in Walmart and we're looking at high prices, we ought to glorify Him. But He is God Almighty. Anything that's going to be accomplished tonight, tomorrow, next week, next year, is all going to be through Him. And if you worship Him tonight, if you love Him tonight, give Him the best hand clap of praise that you've ever given Him tonight. We're so glad to have each and every one of you that are here. How many's tired? Let me see your hands. You're tired. Come on. If you're not raising your hands either, you've not been coming to church every night. You've not been working every day. I am tired. But He's good. He's good. I said one more time, He's good. Would you make welcome Brother Glenn Wilson? We're glad to have him and Sister Doris again tonight. Remember, the revival will continue through tomorrow night. And so we want to welcome. Looks like the crowd may be down just a little bit, but you all have done awesome. You have supported this revival, and we appreciate you so much. Come on, Brother Glenn. Some young man helped Sister Desi there. Are you going to sing? Y'all know you're not singing.
No. Thank you so much. Glory to God. Good evening to you. We just greet you in the name of Jesus again tonight. So proud that you're out tonight at church. And boy, this would be a good night for a miraculous night, wouldn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. We've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. Backsliders come back, sinners saved, and man, I tell you what, a good top off be some miraculous events. Members of the church can still see miraculous events, and they're not past us. They weren't for another group. They're for all of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you want to turn your Bibles, I'm going to preach out of the book of John tonight in chapter 11. And verse 32, if you want to turn there. Hallelujah. We had a great event. Well, some good news before we came to church tonight. I have got a family member that's been struggling for months, going to the doctors and the specialists and whatever. And they told her she had pancreatitis. How you pronounce that? Pancreatitis. Cancer. Pancreatic. All right. And, you know, that really bothered her, and she kept going back to doctors and specialists and whatever. And this has been going on, I reckon, about 2 months, maybe even longer. And she called today and said the doctors called her and said, we have got together and said, examined all of your tests and all the x-rays and whatever, and said, you do not have cancer in your body. Hallelujah. And she was weeping and rejoicing and just so happy. How many knows how that feels? Anybody been healed of cancer and sicknesses and whatever? Man, it's a great thing to hear the good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. All right. Friday night, second week of the revival. We broke a record, haven't we? Oh? Yeah, well, how long has it been since you had a two-weeker? Did we? Well, I stand corrected then. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's great. All of it's great. I'm still enjoying myself. Pastor said, were you tired? I'd have to say I'm a little tired, or I'd be lying like a rug. You know. But I have seen God, you know, when we get wore out, that's a lot of times that's when God can kick in and do what he wants to. Amen. And but anyway, thank you so much. Your offerings every night, we appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Rick, your pastor. And I know he's a hard-working man, but soon he's going to retire. And he's already retarded, but he's going to retire. Good man, good friend. We appreciate him so much. All right, are you ready? John's Gospel, chapter 11. This is a thought that it's just inspiring to me, and I hope it inspires you like it does me. John chapter 11, verse 23. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. How about that? Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, come, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead. Saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Can you say amen with me? Praise God. This wonderful story about Lazarus, Jesus' friend, and how that he died, but here we're at Jesus is at his gravesite, the cave where they buried him, and look what he does to his sister Martha. Martha, take away the stone. He'd been dead 4 days. 4 days. And I guess in the natural mind that was, you know, ridiculous, right? To the natural mind. But and she did come forth with an argument. I believe I preached one night that every time you step out by faith, the devil will come combat you and try to get you to argue, your flesh to argue. That's the reason a lot of us don't receive miracles sometimes. We let our flesh argue ourselves out of it. But anyway, Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been in the grave 4 days. But Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you do this, you'd see the glory of God. And finally they did it, and there was a miracle brought forth. How many would like to see more miracles than we're seeing? I mean, church is good. Soul saving is the number one thing among us. Amen? That's what we ought to have foremost in every service, every type of church gathering. We ought to have souls on our mind. And then people filled with the mighty Holy Ghost and all of that. But God wants you and I to know, experience His miraculous ways also. I know we're living in an hour where you don't see a lot of it, but it's still for us. Here's one that took place. Here's what I want to talk about tonight. And you might have heard this before, but I don't throw away good stuff. God just adds to it. Is that all right? But here's what I want to talk about. If you will do the ridiculous, if you will do the ridiculous, God will do the miraculous. Think about that. If you will do the ridiculous, God will do the miraculous. You see, God can do anything He wants to. He doesn't have to have our help, but God wants to involve you and I, because the more we're involved, each time you're involved in a miracle, a healing, or some spiritual exercise with God, then the next time that opportunity offers itself, it's easier for you to accomplish that. And so you grow by experience. Hallelujah. And so here's a grand example of one saying, Lord, that's ridiculous that we would roll that stone away. By natural death, this man stinketh. And, it's ridiculous to do it. But they went ahead and done it, and they got to see the miraculous. They got to enjoy the miraculous. You suppose, church, if we do more of the ridiculous, we'd receive more of the miraculous. Think about the disciples and those that were among Jesus that in those days that He walked upon earth. Look at the miracles that He done. But look at the people that He involved when he done those miracles. Amen? I mean, He tells Peter, when he was at customs, paying customs, and they didn't have no money, He said, Peter, go down to the river and cast a line. Right? I mean, He didn't say put a minnow on it. He didn't say put a red worm on it. He said cast a line. And He said the first fish that comes up, there'll be a coin in his mouth, and said, I want you to take it out of his mouth and bring it to me. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, think, if you was Peter, wouldn't you think, my God, he's lost his mind. Amen. You can't, number one, you can't catch a fish with a bare line with no bait on it. But yet, because Jesus said it. Church, that's what we got to base our miracles on. It's what Jesus said, taking Him for His word, stepping out and doing the ridiculous by our faith and receiving the miraculous, glory to God. And when we learn that, when we really learn that, I believe we'll see more miracles, miraculous events in the church once again, glory to God. But He wants to involve us. Don't try to shoulder everything on God's shoulders. He can do it, and many times He does it without our help. But, friend, it's like a child growing. You put a fork in his hand. You show him how to eat. Why? Because you want him to learn, to feed himself. God wants you and I, friend, to grow with Him. And the only way to do it is to involve us in the miraculous, glory to God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand. Would you praise God? Elisha's down by the river, and he and some prophets are cutting timber, and they're building a school. One of them working so hard that the axe head falls into the water. And he runs to Elisha And he says, Master, the aaron head has fallen in the water. And Elisha says, reaches up and gets a stick. And he throws it in the water. And the Bible says that the aaron head swam to the stick. And he told the man to go over and pick it up. My God, isn't that miraculous? I mean, you and I think, we think like humans. The aaron head is the heaviest element. And the stick is the lighter element. If anything's going to swim, the stick should swim. But see, God knows what he's doing, glory to God. And if you and I could see more of the miraculous, it'd bring more excitement to us, more expectation to us. Church wouldn't be so boring to us. Same old, same old, same old, same old all the time. And my God, God could involve us. We could grow and become vitalized in the miraculous life. Hallelujah. And great things could take place. Now, I've heard, you know, some people tell me, Brother Wilson, you got to watch that kind of preaching because people get into wildfire. Don't you think real fire can burn out the wildfire? It will totally embarrass it. Hallelujah. I mean, yes, a preaching like this will inspire you, but I'm telling you a real reality, friend. Don't do it unless you hear God tell you to do it. Don't do it unless you know it's right. It's real, praise God. Hallelujah. I heard a story about a young man that the pastor preached, and he got all inspired. He jumped up and he said, Pastor, I've heard from God. Well, what'd God say to you? God said to run through that back wall down there. He jumped up and he tore out. He run as fast as he could. He hit that wall and it almost knocked him out. After he got the cobwebs out of his head, he stood up. The church was very silent. And he said, Church, I heard from God. God said, don't do that no more. So, you know, there is some of that among us, isn't there? But there's reality among us also. God really does those things. Hallelujah. But he wants to involve you and I so that we'll see his glory. We'll stay vitalized by the miraculous events. We'll not just hear about them, but we can get involved in them. How many needs a miracle tonight? You need a healing, or you need a miracle in some event of your life, friend. And I'm going to tell you, it's not all that hard to receive it if you'll tune in to God. Amen. And listen for God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. This is real. This is real. Can you say amen? Amen. Peter's out fishing. Been there all night long, and Peter knew how to fish. And Jesus comes by. They have a conversation, and finally Jesus said, cast your boat out a little from the shore and drop your net over on the right side. It's very important when God's trying to lead you into the miraculous that you pay attention to the details. He said, cast it over on the right side. And Peter said, there, here comes the argument. I tell you again, the flesh will always argue when God's trying, you know, trying to bring you into a miraculous event. Why? Because we're fleshly minded. We're carnally minded. Born again, saved, yes. But still, we combat this old carnal mind. And it just don't want to do the ridiculous. It doesn't want to come out of the comfort zone. Hello. Well, Peter said, Lord, we've been out all night long fishing. We've caught nothing, but nevertheless, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Regardless of how ridiculous it might sound, the bottom line is not what anybody else says or what kind of an argument you might throw up or what kind of an argument the doctor might throw up. The bottom line is what God's speaking in your spirit or your situation. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And how many knows that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? You'll not be miraculously minded unless miracles are preached. You'll not be soul-winning minded unless soul-winning preaching has been preached. I mean, it just works that way. look at various preachers out there. Billy Graham's known as what? One of the, or probably the most prominent soul winner of our era and time. Would you say so, Pastor? But what is he known about? His preaching, what does he preach? Mostly repentance. Never do you see miracles take, I won't say never, but probably never you see the miraculous take place. But you see scores of people get saved. Why? Because he prompts that word. He prompts that word. And faith cometh hearing by the word of God. And people say, hey, we can get our people saved. Let's take them to Billy Graham's crusade. Why? Because he preaches faith in us. He preaches salvation in us. And it builds us. Hallelujah. And then, you know, Benny Hinn, when he was in the limelight, you might say, Benny Hinn was never known much at all at winning souls. But he was known as a miracle man, miracle worker, or prophet, you might say. Amen. Why? Because that's all he preached. They were specialists in their area. I'm like a shotgun. I just blast everywhere. Glory to God. Anyway, friend, a faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How we need to see the miraculous back in the body of Christ. I'm not saying it's exhausted or it's done away with, but I believe it can be revived if we'll revive it among us and realize God still does the miraculous. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I remember, and I believe I told you all, one night maybe, about my oldest daughter. She was pregnant, and they said, when they examined her, they said, there's a tumor in your womb, and it's sucking all the life out of that child. Maybe that's my words to it. And said, the only thing that can be done is to abort the whole mess. Let us go in and abort the baby and the tumor, and you'll live. Well, Dana was very disturbed about it. But Dana is a girl that sat in an audience where there's been miracles over the time. Can you understand what I'm saying? Their miracles aren't strange to my daughters. Why? Because they've been around it a lot. When you're exposed, listen, you'll never respond to that which you have not been made aware of. But if you're made aware of it, you might respond to it. That's why it's important to preach the miraculous, glory to God. That's why it's important to preach soul winning. That's why it's important to preach holiness and any manifestation of God's word. Hallelujah. And she said, Doctor, we'll have to pray about this matter. And so she called all the family, told what was going on. All of her friends had the church praying. Man, the church is a powerful, powerful, powerful mechanism. Hallelujah. God's ears are open to the righteous, and he hears the cry of the righteous. I'd rather have you people here at Green River and a lot of other gatherings I know. If I get sick, friend, my God, let me call some of you. Let me call you. I believe you'll spend time and rebuke that devil out of my life, that sickness out of my life, because God hears the prayers of the righteous, and somebody will get the prayer of faith through. Well, prayer went on, to make a long story short, and do you know my wife, I don't know how much time elapsed, but she went back to the doctor, and they said, there was, but there's not now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just let me shout a while. Praise God. There was a tumor there, but there's no tumor there. I could show you her daughter, and she's a lovely, beautiful young lady, friend. I call her a miracle baby a lot of times, friend, because God done a miracle in the Wilson family. Glory to God. And I rejoice of that, and I'll preach it till I die. God does the miraculous. Praise God. And it's still alive today. And it's still for the church today. Hallelujah. If you'll do the ridiculous, God will do the miraculous. Think about the times that he took spittle. Spit on the ground and mixed it. Put it on a man's eyes. Why did he do stuff like that? Naaman, he said, Naaman, go down the river Jordan and dip 7 times. Why? Just to take up space? To tell another story? No, to inject faith in you and I. And he involved the individuals in most of them. But Naaman's a lot like you and I. When the prophet said, God said to Elisha's servant, go down to Jordan and dip 7 times, he was furious. You see, because he did not speak in our language, the carnal language. You'll believe a doctor before you'll believe God. Why? Because he's tangible. You can touch him. You can get something from him. You can hear his words. But to think, you know, open space, you know, what should I do, God? It's hard for us. Hallelujah, to grasp that. And Naaman done what you and I did. Naaman got upset and said, listen, he said, I thought that he would come out, wave his hand over this place, and speak to his gods. That's what, you know, he had that monopoly of that man of God. Church, never think you've got the monopoly on how God heals you. Woo! Hallelujah. I go into churches all the time. There's personalities in churches. They take on personalities. And there's a lot of people, you know, just think that's the only way God does it. I'm going to tell you, God does it different ways. This man, he said, go dip in Jordan and be healed of leprosy. But what about the four that came to him and they sought healing, and Jesus healed every one of them? He said, now go tell the priest what God's done to you. See, he involved them. Go do something. Let your faith move you. And all of them, none of them came back except one and began to glorify God for his healing. Amen? And others were in the Bible, were lepers. But if you look it up, look at all the lepers were healed. God did it different ways. There was no exact monopoly on it. Whatever it was, God did it differently. Why? Because God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And God wants to help his people. You believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Did I ever tell you about this? I've had a few in my life. I remember one time I was out in the backyard, and I was putting brakes on my wife's vehicle. Excuse me a moment. My mouth's getting a little dry. Time out. And I was in the backyard putting brake shoes on her vehicle. And I'd been in revival, and I remember that I was sitting there, you know. I had a little dog, and he was about from here to Billy to me, laying down. He wasn't nothing but a pile of bones. He had that Parvon disease? His sister had already died. I buried her in the garden. And my carnal thoughts were, soon I'll take Bucky, was his name. Bucky will die with that disease. I'll take him out and bury him beside Trixie. That's all the faith I had about it. But God was fixing to show me a lesson. I don't know if I asked God to heal her or whatever. What awakened the conversation? But God, I feel it. I mean, notice when you say, people say, and some of you don't understand, God told me or God said this. What we're literally saying, we feel highly inspired in our spiritual man that God was speaking that. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, has ever felt real strong that God was speaking to your spirit? Not an audible voice, but moving you in the spiritual realm. And God moved me in the spiritual realm and said, if you'll go over and lay hands on Bucky, I'll heal him. Woo! There's the ridiculous. Right? And here I am. He wants to involve me. No, you heal him. Just raise him up. I didn't say all that, but flesh thinks that, doesn't it? Actually, I looked around to see if anybody was looking, because I'm a daredevil. I'll do or die do it if I think it's God. Hallelujah. And I remember that I said, you know, what's it going to hurt? He's going to die. So I went over And I stretched out my hand, and he couldn't hardly look up at me. And I prayed the best prayer I could say for a dog. And friend, God be my witness tonight, I went back and sat down and was doing my brake job. I looked over there, and Bucky was moving good. He walked over to his water tray and his meat tray and began to eat. Listen, that dog got mended and lived and was a fine dog. Bless his heart, till I run over him with a load of firewood and killed him. Accident. That's what happened. Oh, I cried my eyes out. Pastor, let this be silly or not, but while he was laying there and his little tail was sitting up there just wiggling, and I said, oh, God, what have I done? I've killed my dog, run over him, he's bleeding out the mouth. And I said, God, you miraculously give him to him. Don't let him suffer. Let him die right now. That tail dropped just like that. Oh, church, what did that do to me? Oh, you can get up and boast about great miracle things now, huh? No. I've learned a lesson. And it'd be selfish for me not to pass that on to you. God wants to involve you and I. I'm excited about what I'm preaching tonight. Now, I'm going to close with this. Most of you, how many has heard my testimony about being healed of anxiety and depression? A few of you, well, hold on. I won't be long. The devil hit me with anxiety and depression some years ago. Church, I didn't know what was coming up on me. Walk around and start crying. I'd fear things that I shouldn't. I was paranoid to be in a crowd. Fear was the number one thing in my life. I'd get chest pains and feel like my heart was going to break out of my chest, and my wife would have to run me to the doctor in the dark of the night, and they say, it's just anxiety. He'll be all right. But man, that stuff hung on to me. It got so extreme, my family entertained the idea to take me to Lexington and admit me. Let me hug myself a minute. My God. I wouldn't be here today if I'd have got up there. They'd have pumped me through full of medication and whatever. I'd probably be walking around up there if I was still alive like a zombie. But God didn't cause that. God didn't want that on me. My God, he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, bless God. He said, I'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. He said, let this same mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We do some of these things to ourselves. I just surrendered to that fear. Wanted to preach about it, wanted to talk about it. A sore will bleed as long as you scratch it. A person, you'll be scarred by that family problem, bad marriage, disease, or sickness until you're healed. Hello? And if you want it to get worse, keep talking about it negatively. Amen? If you want to talk, talk positive. Bless God, you might be there, cancer, but you won't be there long. My God's a healer. You cannot exalt yourself above that. And by his stripes I was healed, and himself took our infirmity, and he bore our sicknesses. I'm going to wake up one morning, and you're going to be gone. Glory to God. Woo! Now you say, Brother Wilson, but look at the multitudes that are still sick in the church, and you preach that kind of stuff. Would you rather me preach that, or would you rather me to tell you, just go ahead and, you know, suffer with it. It'll probably kill you. My mommy died of it. My brother died of it, and it's in the family bloodline. You'll probably die. You see what it does? It poisons your spirit and puts fear in you. Talk positive, praise God. Let boldness, let strength come out of your mouth. I took their medicine. I took pills for muscle relaxers. And it just like a spool of thread, everything started happening. High blood pressure. pills for that. Nervous bowel syndrome. I took pills for that. Man, I had more pills than you've got. Wrapped up, bound up in that devilish anxiety and depression. I want to tell you tonight, you that are suffering of it, God's a healer of that. He can set you free, bless God. But you've got to get a hold of it. You've got to battle that. You've got to go God's way. And I'm going to tell you what, God can step in with the miraculous and make you whole. You don't know the people that's come to my hotel rooms and sat there and put their head in their hands and cried like a baby. Grown men, and tell me what they were going through. And I'm saying, I've done been through that. I've done been through that. Let me and God instruct you out of it. Well, things went on and went on and went on. I'd see a preacher up preaching. A great man like this. Isn't he a good preacher? I mean, I'm not pulling a con job up here. I told him one time, I said, if I was looking for a home church and was close enough, I'd come just because you're preaching. Didn't I tell you that? Man, he's valuable. Listen. A preacher, I could see a preacher and I'd start crying. Man, I cried a lot when I was under that spell. And the devil say, you'll never preach again. You'll never preach again, Glenn Wilson. You ain't got it no more, boy. My God, he's the liar and the father of it. He's the liar and the father of it. Will you give me just a few more minutes? I don't want to keep you too long. Listen. Oh, listen to me. One night, everything come to a head. I was sick of medicine, sick of begging, sick of everything. I tried everything. And one night I crawled off to my prayer closet. I'd been there before. I know what prayer can do. And I crawled off to my prayer closet. And God, I thought God had given me vision before. I'd even write them down. May I urge you, friend, when you think you got a true vision from God, write it down, because your old carnal mind will forget it. And I'd write them down. But as of right then, nothing prevailed. But God, listen, God showed me one night, standing out on my property, and the wind was blowing swiftly. Debris was going by me, pieces of brushes and wood and paper and whatever. And I'm thinking, my God, what's wrong with me? Here I'm praying to get healed of anxiety and depression, and all I'm seeing is me standing in the yard. But you better wait. God's trying to put a puzzle together. When I think God is giving me something other, it might mean nothing to me because of my carnal mind. But then if I'll get a mental check on it or write it down, and then maybe I'm in prayer a week later, God will add something to it. And he'll add something till the puzzle comes together and I realize what he's saying to me. God's miraculous, church. It's we just don't wrap our mind around him. We know very little about hearing the voice of God. But all through the Word of God, especially Revelation, he said, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God wants to talk to you. And I saw that, and I said, now, God, I'm exhausted. You've showed me a bunch of stuff. But I had a feeling this was it. And God spoke further, and I feel in my spirit what God said. A potato chip bag flew by me. Now listen to me very closely, because you're going to leave here. It's going to trouble your mind if you're carnal. You won't let it register. But that potato chip flew by me, but it was significant. It was a barbecued Grippo potato chip bag. And it flew by me, and I recognized that right off. And I said, what does a potato chip bag mean? And I'm in the middle of one of the worst storms I've ever fought as a man of God. And God said, when you find this bag on your property, your healing will begin. Now listen, church, you say, but Brother Wilson, I can't handle that. When you are desperate, you'll get, when things are desperate, you get desperate. The reason of us don't receive miracles, we've got every assurance in the world that, and worldly crutches that we can stand on. Good insurance, doctors, whatever, and we'll rely upon them more than we will, God, give me a vision. Save me all that money. Because it is tough work. How many knows that, to get spiritually minded sometimes? Well, to make a long story short, listen. I rushed in the house and I told Doris. Sister Desi, I didn't tell nobody else. Well, you're a big mouth. Why didn't you get up and preach it? You're crazy. They already think I'm crazy. What if I tell them I'm out chasing a potato chip bag? What would they think then? I'd never get a revival. But it's no worse than cutting a stick off and casting it in the water and an iron head swimming to it. It's no worse than casting a string in the water and catching a fish, is it? You just let me have my own visions. It got me healed. I'm on no medication. I might have had a relapse or two. Listen, remember this. I don't care what you've been through. The devil will always come back to take it away. That's why a lot of us don't keep our healings. We get healed, but he comes back and challenges us, and we falter. It's bad. I never did get healed. It hurts the same place. What do you expect the devil to do? What would you do if it was the devil and you wanted to talk somebody out of their healing? Make them hurt there again. Oh, I got to preach you that message. Maybe tomorrow night I got to preach you a message. Listen, would you come back and hear it? I put it in my sock drawer, and I kept that in my mind, and Doris kept it. Doris said, Glenn, that is God. Only you and I on this whole green earth knows that. And you don't have to go around telling everybody. Big mouth. So I put it in my sock drawer, and guess what? I don't know how much time lapsed, but I'm out in my little vehicle, and I've had a bad day. I'm running around crying, feeling sorry for myself. That fear is riddling my mind. I'm listening to him. My God, I'm a mess, and I'm dreading to go home because what I'm going to do is get in my dark room, shut every light off, and get away from my wife and everybody and just console in my misery. That's what the devil wants you to do. That's a miserable disease. But I tell you right tonight, friend, you're healed of it. You can be healed of it. He's your healer. Coming down the lane, you have to make a curve there. I heard nothing but my tires and gravel popping. I looked. There's a blackberry bar patch right there. I see it. And guess what I saw in it? That empty potato chip bag was hung in that blackberry bar patch. Now, wait a minute. You see, I had done jumped back into my misery. Getting visions and getting in the miraculous, you've got to maintain that or he'll pull you out of it. Because you're carnal-minded. Most of us are. You'll forget a lot. You'll dismiss a lot. Because we're creatures of habit and we like the comfort zone better than to take on the miraculous and fight that battle. I remember, listen, God illuminated me. How many knows what I'm saying? He illuminated my spirit. You see, I was saddened. I was looking at my circumstances, my pain, my agony. But God, he illuminated and revived me at what he told me. When you find this, my son, you'll start your healing. Listen, hold on to what God tells you. I don't care if it comes cold in your heart. When it happens, God can revive it, and you can say, I do remember. I do remember God saying that. And I went and grabbed it and took it in the house. I showed Doris. Doris was mopping the floor. She said, Glenn, honey, only you and I, the only creatures on earth that know God told you that. She said, just believe God. I tell you as a witness before God tonight in my closing, I did not receive an instant healing, but I went to bed And I realized I wasn't waking up every 2 hours thinking I was falling off on a mountain or off on a bicycle or something, fear gripping my mind. I realized I wasn't laying there worried, have I got cancer, have I got a bad heart, all the pain and agony and fear I was going through. But I realized, my God, the healing is on the way. It's in the making. I feel the results. My God, it's coming. Glory to God. It's coming. Oh, hallelujah. Just give me a moment. I've got to shout about this because God is glorious. He's a miracle-working God. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Now, when I got through that, look at all the medication it has saved me in doctor's calls. I looked at them doctors and I'd be crying. They said, Mr. Wilson, why are you crying? I said, do you know I'm a minister of the gospel? Yeah, it's on your record here. I said, I sit where you do all day long. I hear people hurting like you do. And I said, you're helpless and can't help myself. He said, Mr. Wilson said, we all need a little help from time to time. We do, don't we? How many knows that? We do. But I want to go on right quick. In my house, if you should visit me sometime, I'll take you to my bedroom if you want to go. In my bedroom, that potato chip bag has got a home there. On my dresser, in a what Doris, a 10 by 8 frame, is that right? Well, tell them. Huh? 5 by 6. I'm exaggerating. I'll get in trouble. A 5 by 6. I told Doris, go down and pick out one of the most expensive frames. What are you going to do, honey? I'm going to frame my healing. I'm going to frame my miracle, bless God. I'm going to preach about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to enjoy it. My God, the God of miraculous, is moving in the Wilson home. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Woo! One night, my youngest granddaughter was jumping on the bed. She said, Papa, your deer heads all the way around the wall. I'm a deer hunter. And Papa, Canada, you caught, that's a big fish, Papa. And she said, Papa, what's that potato chip doing in that frame over there? Woo! You know what I told her? I said, baby, when you're old enough, Papa's going to really explain that to you. Oh, church, let me say something. Come on, singers. Come on, my friend. Make haste, if you would. Come on. I want you to know God's a miraculous working God. Maybe you've not had a dramatic event like I have, but I'm telling you, He loves you as much as He loves me. He doesn't want you in anxiety and depression. He doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you like that. He wants to save you money. He wants to save you from going to the doctor all the time. If you'll just get along with Him, my God, get in the supernatural. Fast your way into it. Pray your way into it. Whatever it takes, spend time with God. Get a spiritual mind about things and ask God to show you something. God will do it. He'll do it because He loves us. Amen. If you will do the ridiculous, what's ridiculous to the flesh, God will do the miraculous. And remember this, quit shouldering it all on God. He wants to involve you because He loves you and wants you to become great soldiers in the army of God. He doesn't want you to be babies just receiving the milk all the time. He wants to involve you and make you strong believers in Christ. Oh, what could happen if we just release the miraculous, if God could just release the miraculous among us. I've laid hands on so many people, but seemingly nothing happened. But I've seen my share of miracles too. I've seen devils come out of people right in the midst of everybody. I've seen miracles take place, and the evidence was honest and true. God still works in the miraculous. Would you stand to your feet tonight? If you need a miracle from God, I'm going to tell you what. You could receive it. You could receive it. You could receive it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many is dealing with anxiety and depression? Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Come on. You want to come down here and stand for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you. I mean, wouldn't you like to have somebody that's been through the waters, you know, through the trial? Wouldn't you like to have somebody like that that knows what they're talking about? If you want to come tonight, come and stand up here, would you? You raise your hand. Come on. Come on.